Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the country that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing celebrating the on-site teams that kept our essential multifamily business running through the pandemic. And joining me in today in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Terry Danner, the CEO of SightPlan. Welcome, Terry.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. Appreciate you having me on the show today.
Well, in full disclosure to our listeners, we're taping this show at an unusual time than we normally tape our show every week, because you happen to be in town, and you happen to be in town to do something that I think is extremely interesting and important to the multifamily industry when it comes to celebrating these on-site teams. And it's a video series called Back to Work with Terry Danner. Why don't you describe it for our listeners?
Yeah, we're actually in town filming episode 6 in the series. It was a series that was the brainchild of Alex Grammaticus and Joseph Westlake and myself once we got in this pandemic, right, and realized, well, we're not going to have any conferences anymore. We're not going to anything this year. But we still wanted to stay in touch with folks. So we thought, well, what better way to reach out than through social media? And we'll talk about SightPlan, I'm sure, in just a little bit. But part of this is really about the connection between SightPlan and all of the on-site team members, right? Those are the users that we're hoping to kind of connect with. And so this was a way that we could reach out in this pandemic and just, give some credit to those on-site team members.
Yeah, it is. And I have to be honest, I watched, there's two episodes that have posted now. I've watched both of those episodes. They happen to be at properties in the Florida area, and it's fascinating. I think the way you have it couched on your website where they're posted is it's kind of a cross between Undercover Boss and Micro Dirty Jobs, and it really is. I mean, to see what you're doing on these properties, but it really kind of highlights, and you are highlighting some of the people who are the unsung heroes of multifamily, and they're just representative of what's throughout the entire industry.
Right. Well, I will say that, first of all, I am no micro, so that wasn't going to be somebody I wanted to mimic. And, yeah, you know, having been in the business this long, I don't know that I can really be undercover that much.
That's true.
But it wasn't certainly an opportunity to celebrate, as you say, the unsung heroes, mm-hmm, right? All of my career has really been in property management. Right. You know, for all of the folks that have been in the real estate business, management hasn't always been the glamorous side, right? But it's where the stuff kind of gets done. Mm-hmm. And so it's been the on-site team members over the years that have really kind of made me successful in my career. And I've tried to do the best I could to work with them, give them the tools that they need, and give them credit, certainly, for the work that they've done.
Yeah, and you have been in the business quite a few years, and you're well-known in the business. So for the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with you, give a little background on what you've done throughout your career in multifamily.
Sure. Well, it's odd. We talk about, you know, getting in the property management business. Almost nobody does it by design.
Exactly.
In their careers. And mine was the same way, right? I'm a chemical engineer by degree. Mm. Did that a couple of years. And then I was just enamored by real estate in general, right? Those kind of, call it those tycoons. And then when I entered the business in the Washington, D.C. area, I realized, kind of 1 year in, the company that I was involved with cratered. Mm. And I was like, why did I ever do this? But I went through kind of a series of subsequent organizations that were all great in building my career. Mm-hmm. Summit Properties was kind of next on the agenda. Went with them when it was a private company, then it became public. Later it sold to Camden. But just prior to that, I had left and joined Trammell Crow Residential. Mm-hmm. Obviously the name Trammell Crow is certainly well-known in Texas,
sure,
but also around the country. And so it was an opportunity for me to really kind of run my own business at that point. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of post the REITs, right? Gables had gone public, Avalon Bay had gone public, and now they're restarting in areas. So it was an opportunity to kind of get in on kind of the next wave of the Trammell Crow business. Ran that for a number of years and then found myself in a situation where Trammell Crow wanted to exit the property management business. I worked with a partner of mine and we acquired the company and ran that as Riverstone Residential Group for a number of years. Grew it to be the largest third-party manager in the country until we ultimately sold to Greystar back in 2014, which made them then the largest company in the world. Stayed through the integration and ultimately left to go back and do some things that I wanted to do with those unsung heroes and give them some of the tools that I felt they needed to do their jobs better.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the video series. And you came to Houston today, which most of our listeners know we're headquartered in Houston, even though you can listen to our show anywhere in the country. But you went to a property here and to kind of walk through for our listeners the kind of things that you do when you when you're on a property.
Right. Well, you know, not just the property, it's the city, it's the local apartment affiliates. We're trying to bring in the entire industry into these episodes. Certainly, it all surrounds the on-site team members. So what we've done through the series is picked a number of topics to feature in each episode. And then we pick a team member and a company that we think kind of best suits that topic. And we want to make sure there's kind of diversity in the team members that we work with, in the cities that we're in, the types of product that we're dealing with, to give everyone a sense of how broad, how diverse our industry really is. And so today here in Houston, we were working with a maintenance supervisor on a very small property. So he's kind of the jack of all trades and has to do kind of a lot of the things that maybe a team would typically do. So we dealt with kind of exterior inspections and basically him doing all of the things to make sure the property stays running.
And I noticed on the first two episodes, I mean, some of the work you're doing is pretty strenuous, and it's not something that I think most people who have been through your role in multifamily have done for many years, probably. I know some people started out on the maintenance side and have worked their way up, but I'm just curious, have you, through this process, gotten a different type of appreciation than what you previously had for
multifamily? I don't know that it's a different type of appreciation. Because I think I've had that appreciation. So the difficult work you're talking about, you know, if you're referring to kind of me doing the difficult work, realize that these are the folks that are doing that difficult work all the time.
Right.
And then, you know, we can talk about hurricane preparedness, which we did obviously in episode two. But there was no hurricane. But, you know, for the Pinnacle team, you know, that featured there at Elements on Third, I mean, there could have been a kind of pending hurricane and all the things that they needed to do. And, you know, there'd be a lot more danger than we're dealing with.
Sure.
It's the ability, I think, to highlight some of the spectacular work, whether it's dangerous or not, I don't know, that they do on a regular basis and give them credit for that work.
Yeah, I saw you pruning a palm tree, but you were wearing a hard hat, which I'm sure it was good because one of those palms looked like it was about to hit you.
Oh, they're pretty sharp. They're pretty sharp. I think one did actually hit me in the head. So I never did say that I did everything properly, right? I'm trying to get them to show me how to do things properly.
I understand. Let's talk a little bit about the companies that you're working with on this. I know that you mentioned Pinnacle. So who are some of the other ones that you've got scheduled and that you've already done?
Yeah, so we've done episodes so far with Lincoln, Pinnacle, Fogelman, Bizzuto, Cortland, Allied Orion. And then as we move to Austin and Dallas next, we'll be doing an episode with RPM, and then in Dallas, we'll be doing a BH Management, and then a Yes Communities. Yes Communities is a manufactured housing company. So a little bit different twist, but hopefully giving kind of viewers, listeners, some insight into other things that happen that are maybe outside the typical multifamily property.
Well, hopefully when the video series catches on, you'll be able to get some big multifamily companies to participate with you. I think you hit the top 30,
You know, we've got some bigger ones on the West Coast. We've got Avenue 5, we've got FPI. I mean, you know, so some of those that are in the NMHC top 50.
Yeah.
It's not like we've specifically gone out and chosen the biggest companies to be at. We just want to feature, really, hopefully, the on-site team members more than anything else.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and break this episode here. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to pmworkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
We are back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're talking today about celebrating the on-site teams that keep our essential multifamily business running through the pandemic. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Terry Danner, the CEO of SitePlan. I would like to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Terry, I wanted to ask you, we were talking right before the break about some of the companies, the great multifamily companies that you are working with on your video series. Tell us a little bit about when you first approached them, a new concept like this. What kind of reception did you get?
Well, I realize it's a lot easier now that people have seen episodes 1 and 2, right?
Right.
So those conversations are a lot more, we don't even have to convince them anymore, right? Everybody kind of wants to jump on board because everybody feels like the on-site team members are the ones that they want to celebrate.
Right.
But initially, obviously, when you had nothing and you go to them with a concept of, you know, hey, wait, SitePlan, Gracehill, and HD Supply want to combine to do what, a commercial?
Mm.
You know, it's not about a commercial.
Right.
It's really about featuring the local affiliate, the industry as a whole in a city, and then the on-site team member and the specific role that they have, particularly in this pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different environment we're working in today. They've always had difficult jobs, but, you know, in this environment,
yes,
it's even more difficult. So it was difficult at first, but I think now that we've kind of, you know, overcome that hurdle, we've got a lot of people willing to jump on, and we're excited about kind of where this could potentially go even beyond this series.
Yeah, well, and I was just thinking, you know, you've got a 15-episode series scheduled. You're probably going to need an agent to negotiate a better contract for you for the next 15.
I think we're going to need a better Mike Rowe, right? Somebody who's a better spokesperson. To that point, it has been a lot of fun for me. You know, obviously, all the years I've been in the industry, I mean, I've worked with people in all different capacities and all different roles, and it's a great opportunity for me to go back and really kind of share time with them and give them a little bit of the spotlight.
Absolutely. And I know part of what you're doing when you are going to these properties and working with on-site teams is you're talking about and really kind of highlighting some of the best practices. There's best practices that have been kind of a key phrase in multifamily for years and years, but now with the pandemic, it's even something that's change quite a bit. So what are you finding about best practices when you're on the property?
Well, first, the amazing thing to me is that best practices differ from company to company. Mm-hmm. I know companies are different, right? And they've got different procedures and policies and mission statements and whatnot. But it is somewhat surprising to me that policies or, you know, inspection practices that would seem to me to be typical and standard across the industry are not necessarily deployed the same way across different companies. So that's been kind of a little bit shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
During this pandemic, right, it's caused people to adjust and come up with new practices, which has been great for new education for management companies. Because I think one of the things that I've noted over the years is that people are just so resistant to change.
Right.
It's just, this is the way we've done it. We're going to keep doing it. And there has been a lot of innovation in our industry. You could go to Apartmentalize or OpTech and, you know, any of these big conferences, and you see all of the frontiers that are out there.
Right.
But not a lot of groups are kind of readily adapting that to that technology.
Right.
And so this environment has opened people's eyes to say, well, we've got to do things differently, right? And here now we're forced to do it.
Right.
And things like virtual leasing, right? These are concepts we talked about kind of 5 years ago. No, we're never going to do that. You know, but now that you have to put it into practice, they're like, why didn't we do this before?
Sure.
So companies are getting very creative with the way they interact with residents, the way that they socialize generally, yeah, you know, in their communities, and the way that they just kind of operate day to day. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, people talk about a new norm.
Yeah.
I don't know that, first of all, I don't like that term.
Sure.
Because I don't know what the norm is. You know, I'm sure some of these practices, I mean, they'll go by the wayside, but I think we'll learn some things and we'll come out of this much better as an industry.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. I can remember walking the convention halls at OpTech, at Apartmentalize, some of the regional and state and local shows that I would attend. And when, you know, virtual leasing, all this came out, I would talk to some of the people in the industry who went into the booth. I said, what do you think about that? And they said, well, I think it's a great idea, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And then, boom, we have a pandemic, and people are all jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, it's amazing how quickly people can adopt something when they've gotten no other real alternatives
right
at that time. So
yeah, hopefully this opens people's kind of eyes when they go to the next Apartmentalize or OpTech,
yeah,
right? And they see these technologies to give it a serious look, right? I mean, oftentimes, you know, there are great ideas. Maybe they're not implemented as well as they should, right? Companies not choosing the best way to do it. But it's worth looking at and saying, kind of, is it possible, right?
Right.
Maybe it's not. And,
right,
and maybe it's not in your organization. But just give it a chance.
Sure.
Give it a look.
So tell me some of the things that maybe opened your eyes up on some of these episodes you've already done, as far as it, that you maybe really didn't understand how things were done, or you kind of were surprised to see that this is the way it's getting done. Because, you know, with your career, everything you've done in multifamily, you may not have been aware of exactly how they
right
sanitize or do whatever they're doing.
I think it's certainly the stuff that relates specifically to the pandemic,
yeah,
like sanitization and whatnot. That's a new frontier for everybody,
sure,
right?
Yeah,
we'd like to think we kept our models clean in our clubhouse and whatnot, but not to this degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we're learning from the other industries, right? Hotel and airlines,
sure,
and, you know, kind of getting those ideas. A couple of industries that we've actually learned other things from.
Sure.
When you think about revenue management.
Exactly. Hospitality.
You know, I think what surprised me is when I look at what these companies have come up with and what they do, that they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take hurricane preparedness, right? Episode 2, which is, yeah, the one that just came out now. As I looked across the industry and I tried to look at how companies are dealing with hurricane preparedness, and everybody's got a policy that is vastly different from the next company, which is so odd to me. I mean, that would
right
be something that you'd think that there would be one program put together that the industry could use for hurricane preparedness, but that's not what I found.
Yeah.
You know, I found on the day-to-day stuff, I mean, with the team members, granted, it's been so long, and I think there is generally over time a disconnect between what you knew about site management when you were maybe a property manager or a regional manager to the time you're kind of moving to corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Things have, I mean, the basic fundamentals are still the same.
Right.
But the industry today has to work with kind of fewer employees, right? It's
right.
hard to get good talent into the industry right. nowadays. I mean, that's why, you know, organizations like NAA are focused on really bringing new talent in. But there's talent out there. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think the fundamentals have necessarily changed. I think for me, it's more a matter of really getting in and relearning everything that they're doing on a daily basis and appreciating it more than I probably did even when I became somewhat disconnected.
Right, right. And I think that when you're looking at the on-site teams, communication has got to be key. And I know that that's something that you're big on with SitePlan. What have you found maybe that will help you to further develop SitePlan as far as some of the things you found in the field?
Right. Well, communication, no doubt, is key, right? And communication on multiple fronts and in different channels. So it's communication between certainly the on-site teams and residents, right? Corporate and on-site teams. And then the residents kind of back, obviously, with those groups. But then even team members communicating with one another. One thing that we've tried to focus on in SitePlan, well, we're focused on all of those channels, right, and mm-hmm. making them two-way and providing feedback on how the other groups are thinking, what they're doing. I mean, the opportunity to communicate openly with one another, particularly when we're not really in a verbal environment
right.
Anymore.
Well, I was going to tell you that when I started kind of in the multifamily industry, there was no such thing as internet. There was no such thing as Wi-Fi. There was no such thing as a cell phone. Things have, you know, oftentimes when we talk about leasing on the show and we talk about how people find a place that they want to move or to an apartment property they want to move into, they used to go to the grocery store and pick up magazines.
Right,
and,
apartment and, guide,
yeah, apartment
right,
guide.
Format magazine,
exactly.
All of those, yeah.
And now they're, and you know, today they are looking at online reviews and all those types of things. What you guys do at SitePlan kind of falls into that, whereas it, I would imagine years ago, you couldn't even envision something like what you guys do.
No, well, you had to have mobile devices really at the site level,
yeah.
you know, and to be used. And really, you know, if you think about where we've evolved from a technology perspective, you talk about the internet and whatnot and resources that are out there, right? You can pretty much Google anything, mm-hmm. you know, nowadays. But technology has focused, I think, almost solely on the prospect and leasing side since the early 2000s.
Right.
We really have ignored the kind of maintenance side and the operation side, which is what we've gone back and focused on.
Right.
And you couldn't do that really until about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, when you had unlimited data plans, right, and companies willing to have their employees have a smartphone
right.
In the field.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a break. We've got two more segments to discuss this fascinating topic with Terry. You're going to come back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of celebrating the on-site teams that kept our essential multifamily businesses running through the pandemic. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Terry Danner, the CEO of SightPlan. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within the multifamily industry. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So Terry, before the break, we kind of jumped into the technology aspect, and I know that the pandemic has created a lot of opportunities for technology to kind of come into the spotlight. What are some of the things you see? What are some of the things you think are going to even grow and be helpful to on-site teams, corporate offices, and so forth, as far as technology is concerned?
Well, you know, we were talking briefly about communication. Certainly, all things communication, they're going to go off the charts, and I think that's here to stay, right? The ability to kind of get feedback, too, from folks. But certainly, when you look at the pandemic, I mean, virtual leasing, far and away, kind of number one. I think that's here to stay. I had heard prior to the pandemic, there were a number of organizations that were working on that as a sustainable component of their businesses. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that just that one, I think, will stay. The other thing that has come up early, we talk about technology on the operations or the maintenance side, right? Well, in this pandemic, what happened early on was all of a sudden, it was no access to the residents' apartments anymore.
Right.
And residents have service requests that they need done. And so then you have a, well, if I can't go in the apartment, then there's a backlog of service requests. Mm-hmm. Our maintenance teams did a great job of dealing with all of the urgent service requests, right? Those were unavoidable. You take as many precautions as you can, but you still have this kind of backlog of service requests that are piling up that residents are expected to get taken care of at some point. And you need a way to prioritize that, right? To archive them, to figure out when this is over and I actually can go back in and do the work, what do I do first? What did I forget, right? Is everything organized? Because there's nothing worse than a resident who doesn't get things done that they've kind of called in.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about what you found on some of the properties you've been on. Or are people opening back up now where they can get back into the units to do this work?
Some are, some aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess this goes to my point about, you know, different companies are doing different things. Certainly with some of the organizations, the protocols that they're taking, right, masks, social distancing, sanitization, they are back doing some of the, call it the non-urgent work orders. But I think there are still some that are wary, right? Mm-hmm. Their team members, they want to protect them. And so it's a kind of wait and see.
Yeah, yeah, and I've spoken with a lot of supplier partners to the industry who have the need as part of what the work they do for a property to go into units, and every one of them has their own, you know, COVID-19 procedures and protocol that they use, but still they are telling me that some of the properties are a little wary because they just don't want to end up with an issue with residents of people having to go into
right. Well, you even hear it on turnkey, right? Where now you're dealing with a vacant apartment,
right?
Where organizations are saying, "Well, we need to leave that apartment vacant for a number of days, you know, so that it kind of decontaminates itself,
right?
Over time." So all kinds of solutions out there.
Yeah. So when it comes to education, what are you seeing out there? What are you recommending for certifications? And I know that all education now has seemed to go to web-based educational series. And even the maintenance mania that the National Apartment Association promotes has gone to web-based and internet-based type of thing. What are you seeing out there as far as
Well, first of all, let me say that was sad to see maintenance mania not be an in-person event.
Yeah.
There is such excitement around that final
right.
At Apartmentalize, and I think people look forward to that every year. So hopefully we'll be back with that next year. I think a lot of people have used this time during the pandemic for their on-site teams, if they're actually not doing kind of some of the work that they would typically do, to use this time to educate them.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the work that we're doing with Grace Hill, I mean, we see, you know, their education programs being used a lot more. And that's why we've brought the Grace Hill scholarships kind of into play here for people to get their CAM and CAM-T, recognizing that there probably is no better time than right now. If you've got a little time, use this time to get educated. Also, in you mentioned earlier web, right, YouTube, those types mm-hmm. of things. Taking those out of just, hey, I've got to Google it, right, or I've got to go onto YouTube and do a search, and bringing those capabilities into the technology, mm-hmm. right? So the ability that if you've got a service request that's, let's say, plumbing related, well, I don't have to go do a search. Bring that actually, because you're now in a mobile environment, bring that that tool or that capability of seeing a resource right into the tool itself.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. You know,
well, time is money.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
And you know, this is all about efficiency and performance of the on-site team members. At the end of the day, you know, even with the shortage of team members, there's just not enough time to get all the work done. So you've got to try to save those team members as much time as possible. And that's what technology is all about, right?
Sure.
Hopefully.
Has there been any studies, or have you guys done any studies about the kind of time that is saved when you use that type of technology?
Well, there is a lot of time that is saved. I mean, you particularly in, I'll call it the soft time of communication, right? Typical, here's the way things typically occurred, was a resident would submit a request, right? Maybe they called it in via the answering service. Mm-hmm. It would sit there on the answering service until a leasing consultant retrieved it. Then they'd go enter it into the property management software, right? And then ultimately a maintenance technician would come in, you'd print it off, they'd take it and they'd go work it. Well, there's a huge delay there.
Right.
And there's a lot of inefficiency built in just all of the documentation that's involved. There's no reason why directly from that phone call you can't create the service request and have it sent directly to the maintenance team.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone, that time that's wasted, it's not just the efficiency for the on-site team, but it's also a service increase for the resident, because now when they called something in, they were expecting it done as quickly as possible.
Right.
So I'd say there's quite a bit of time done just in the lack of documentation. You think about all the things they do with logs, right? Pool logs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to have to go back to a book and write it in. Why can't, when I'm doing the task right there in the field, it create the log for me? Or I'm doing, work on an HVAC system and I kind of close out the task entering the pounds of refrigerant use. I've created my logs right there. So it's not just about, it's about the time that they're saving, certainly, but it's also about consistency across
right.
a portfolio and documentation and kind of closing what I call those operational gaps that exist.
Yeah.
That was one of the main things that we were trying to do when we talk about technology for the maintenance teams, is there are so many gaps out there that you hope are being kind of done right, but you just have no insight into them. So provide the insight and make sure that all those gaps are closed and that you have visibility into those gaps. Because in our industry, in a pre-technology world, they all tend to be individual silos.
Right.
That doesn't do any good for anybody trying to figure out well, what does my portfolio look like? Where are my holes? What do I need to be working on? Right. I need to see all of that in the aggregate and then focus on the outliers.
And you know, in the pre-technology world, when you're talking about how, when you took us through the steps of how a work order is created, there are so many opportunities for failure because it may, at least a consultant who's taken it may get distracted with something else, and then she never gets back to it. Meanwhile, you got an angry resident who hasn't gotten their need taken care of. Also, I've found that I've talked to a lot of maintenance folks. They really don't like doing paperwork.
No, it's probably one of the things that they hate the most.
Yeah, so.
But you're right. But in the translation even of the work, right? I mean, if you're going to have a leasing consultant transcribe a phone call, right, and try to figure out exactly what the resident was trying to say, well, maybe they don't really understand it. Today, there's technology that allows residents to submit, you know, photos and other types of media that further describe exactly what they need done.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing what they're able to do. Now, you know, one of the parts of technology which has taken over is these apps that the residents can use to do these things as far as those things, and there's apps that are allowing residents to be able to take advantage of amenities that surround the property and so forth. What do you think about that? Was that something that was on the radar until recently?
Well, I think we all have lots of apps on our phone,
yeah,
right? So we knew that this was coming for multifamily. The problem that I see is it's coming in a disorganized fashion. You've got, your utility company has an app, right? Mm-hmm. Your management company might have an app, and that app may be actually the property management software's app. It may also help them find other apartments. Then you've got a smart home app, right? As communities kind of move to some of these, the smart thermostats,
right,
and locks and whatnot. And there are a lot of kind of technical things that come with that. But so you've got this preponderance of apps, and the industry needs to do a better job of sorting it out. The amenity reservations that you're talking about is something that came up kind of as a crisis mode, right? And people have developed, I think, a temporary solution, but it's not a permanent solution because it's not really effectively the way you would want to reserve an amenity. So briefly, when we were talking about how a service request was created, well, you think about creating an amenity reservation, right? If I say there are 5 spots in the fitness center and I sign up for a spot, well, do I go? Do I not go? What if I don't go, right? Did I remove my reservation? What if I just decided, well, I'm just going to book every day for the next week thinking I'm going to go?
Yeah.
Yes, I can deliver an amenity reservation. Is it the right tool? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
There are better options out there.
Okay. We're going to break it here for this, and we're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. It's a fascinating topic. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program And it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing celebrating the on-site teams that kept our essential multifamily businesses running through the pandemic. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Terry Danner, the CEO of SitePlan. And Terry, we've got another guest who has joined us. Why don't you introduce her?
Yeah, this is Alex Grammatikas. She's the one who's been coordinating a lot of the Back to Work series. She heads our marketing here at SitePlan.
Hello, everyone.
So, Alex, I want to ask you a question. Tell us a little bit about how you kind of got this ball rolling on Back to Work.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Actually, back in November of 2019, Joseph and I were talking, and he had this idea. He loves Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, and he's like, we should have Terry do something like this. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then we kept talking about it. I'm like, all right, we're actually getting serious about this. And then when you really commit yourself to the program and you really let your imagination and really learn about what you can do with it, it just snowballed from there. We started pitching companies back in May, getting Grace Hill and HD Supply to join us, as well as the NAA affiliates. And we started in Orlando. It's where SitePlan is based out of. And we ended up getting the mayor to join us for the day. And it was just really exciting to see everyone really get behind the program. And as Terry said in the beginning, we didn't have anything to show anyone at first. We just had to, you know, kind of hope and a prayer that they would join us. But everyone understood the mission with what's going on and what the goal of the program was with Back to Work and really highlighting the great work the on-site team.
And it really wasn't much of a pitch to the other groups. I mean, Grace Hill and HD Supply, I mean, both are prominent folks in our industry. I mean, sure. HD Supply certainly, you know, heavily involved with the maintenance industry, and we certainly wanted to focus a lot of this on the maintenance team members. That was obviously a huge part. And then with Grace Hill, with their training and policies and procedures, it was just a logical kind of two groups to kind of partner with on this project.
You know, I'm curious, when you said that you were talking with your associate and you said, hey, this is something that let's get Terry to do it. When you approached Terry, did you bring a bottle of whiskey with you to let him, to soften him up a little bit?
I don't think Terry thought we were serious for a little while. And then he's like, oh God, we're actually doing this. But Terry has been a trooper. He has been, you know, jumping in trash bins, pressure washing, sanitizing everything. I mean, he has done anything and everything we've asked of him, and smiling and genuinely curious to learn from the on-site team. So it's been a pleasure for me to get to watch even behind the camera. But no, Terry's been awesome throughout all of this.
As long as we got off the dirty jobs part, right? I mean, you know, at the end of the day, and it wasn't about my fear of not doing a dirty job. Mm-hmm. It was really about, I didn't think that gave the on-site team members the credit that they really deserved, right? It's not dirty work that they do.
Right.
It's great work that they do.
Right, right. And you know, it's interesting because when you talk about dirty jobs and Mike Rowe, I mean, he's a big proponent and spoke at Apartmentalize a couple of years ago about the need to try and educate people to do this type of work. It was, you know, kind of inspiring to hear what he had to say about it. Let's talk a little bit about, just for people who may have tuned in a little late, Back to Work with Terry Danner is a video series. It's 15 episodes so far that you've committed to. I think, the one you taped your videoed in Houston today is going to play on September the 16th. Is that
going to be available on September 16th? 4 weeks from now.
So it'll be available then. But you've already got ones that there's two up already, both in Florida. I've watched them both. They're really, really good, and it really does highlight the heroes that don't get enough credit on the teams that are on site, especially during the pandemic. What's next? What are y'all going to be doing next with Back to Work?
Well, first, I would say that we want everyone to kind of watch what's
sure.
already been out there. You know, we have it posted on our own LinkedIn page at SitePlan, and then also on Facebook, on YouTube,
on our website as well.
And I think we see a number of industry folks sharing it across their Facebook pages. So, you know, those links are out there. So we want to gain support for it in general, right? Whether it goes, you know, beyond this, I mean, you know, we hope it does, but if not, 15 episodes is a good time to kind of feature that. And hopefully I can find a successor and find somebody got a better skill to do it. But, you know, from here, I mean, we're going to continue and try to educate, you know, our industry in general on the work that people are doing in a number of different areas, right? So it's, you know, we covered the sanitization, hurricane preparedness and whatnot. We've got a whole array of topics that we'll pass along with different companies. And it'll air really, it was designed to air once a week up until apartmentalized, the rescheduled apartmentalized.
Right.
And hopefully that'll be the last episode. And hopefully we will have an
apartmentalized. I've had several people from an AA on the show, and every time I ask them what's the latest, and, you know, they're planning this, but they've also got the virtual component, which is going to be interesting to see how they do that.
I'm preparing my panel now for that, actually.
tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, I want to say, because you mentioned the different ways that someone could tune into some of these episodes, but I do want to remind our listeners that there will be a link on the episode this episode page of our website where you can click on the site plan logo, and it will take you directly to the page on the site plan's website that has this and gives the person access to watch the episodes. And like I said, there's two of 15 that are up today, and I guess probably every week you've got another one that's going to be coming up to you.
Every Wednesday new episode would be released.
Yeah. It really is interesting. So you mentioned some of the people that, some of the companies that you're working with, but you're doing a lot of traveling in this time of pandemic. How have you found the traveling to be?
Well, I'm used to traveling my entire career, so
absolutely,
it hasn't slowed me down much. Traveling's been it's been relatively easy, I think. I mean, the air travel has been nice and inexpensive.
Yes.
So that's been good. I haven't contracted COVID yet, so that's a good sign.
Sure.
Everything seems pretty smooth.
Yeah, and we travel. I joke around. We have a little COVID kit with all of our PPE equipment, so we come prepared to all of the properties so that they feel confident that, you know, even though we're visiting other sites, we're coming protected and safe as well.
Sure.
And I must say, it's nice. The traveling on the roads, the traffic is a lot lighter getting from place to place as well, which has been a silver lining.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some interesting cities coming up. I mean, we'll be in Dallas next, and then we'll be in Salt Lake, in Denver, Sacramento, San Francisco, Seattle, Boston. So there's quite a few that are coming up, and it's all across the country.
Yeah, and Boston obviously is where Apartmentalized was going to be,
and that will be our that will be our 15th episode. So. We shall see.
Yeah. So let's transition into. I want to talk a little bit about site plan and tell us. And our listeners who may not be familiar with site plan, although site plan is very well known in the industry, about it. And one question I have for you, you don't have to answer it first,
but
one question I have for you, I mean, you had a storied career in multifamily, and when you decided to go to the dark side.
Everybody keeps referring to it as the dark side. I don't know that I found it to be dark yet.
You know, my question is, how did you choose site plan? But you could talk about site plan
first. First of all, I don't think of it as the dark side, but site plan to me was an opportunity in my post-property management career to do what I felt had been neglected in our industry and provide the best tools for the on-site teams to improve their performance and efficiency. At the same time, when they adopt these tools and use them, the data that is there helps eliminate that siloed position that I was talking about before. So it was put tools in the hands of the on-site team members to help them do their jobs better. So our focus was on giving the maintenance teams in particular, but this is true of anyone on-site, the opportunity to do all of their things with one tool. So there are point solutions, right? Mm-hmm. I can have a point solution to help me with service requests or inspection programs or preventive maintenance or a resident app or whatnot. But SitePlan is kind of one due diligence, another topic which we probably don't have enough time to talk about in this pandemic, which has dramatically changed in our industry. But one tool to do all that, for a lot of the reasons we talked about, of it's hard enough to attract people. It tends to be a high turnover position in the multifamily industry. So learning how to do something that is simplistic in one way, as opposed to learning five tools, certainly helps. So SitePlan at its core really is a resident service platform, kind of in the task management form on mobile device, and then a resident communications platform. So if you think about the ways that tasks get in the system, answering service, property management software, now you go into resident apps and Alexa skills and, you know, Siri and Google Home, all ways that communications and tasks get in the system. But companies have an opportunity for consistency to put in all of their inspection templates, right? Their hurricane preparedness work, their lighting inspections, all of that. And as the teams are working out in the field, as I mentioned with pool chemical inspections and HVAC and whatnot, all of their logs are automatically created. All that documentation is there. But the on-site team members didn't have to work any harder, right? It's the work they were doing anyway. And as they're in the field working with the tool, it's providing all of that documentation. It obviously helps for what I call operational BI, giving you better insight into the performance at the property level from a corporate perspective. But at the site level, they're getting recognition for the work that they do, right? There's feedback with, because of the communication component, they can get instant feedback from the residents on how well they did. And if service requests need to be reopened, they can be doing that automatically.
And it's amazing what can be done today. And it's, I'm sure it's, you've got a complete team in your corporate office that is always developing new components to what you're doing. And how do you get that feedback of, as far as what needs to be done?
Well, our team is all in Orlando. We have an in-house engineering team that does all the work. We've actually this year expanded the team dramatically. We've got more than 150 customers we work with. We've got over 1 million units now. So we're getting a lot of new feedback on where to take the product. And the best advice you can get is really from your current customers. They're the users. They know where it needs to go. And so we have a vision, and we're certainly kind of following up on that vision, but we're taking a lot of that feedback and incorporating it in.
All right. One last question. If somebody wants to find out about SitePlan, what's the best way to do it?
The best way is to go to www.siteplan.com. You know, with that, you can see what we do. You can request a demo for what we do, and you can interact with us there. And we're happy to kind of work with you and see how our situation can help you with your company and your specific needs.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you guys. Love to have you back on again, Terry. You've got a wealth of information to share with our listeners. We'll be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.